You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this April 1st, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us here on what turned out to be a gorgeous day in the Auburn and Opelika area. Happy first of the month. Happy payday to those of you who, you know, work for a living. Yeah, there's a ton to talk about on the show today. We're going to hit a ton of baseball today. We're going to hit football spring practice today. Some news in the college transfer portal space that we're going to hit on today as well. So a ton to get to. Plus, we're going to have Auburn Baseball's head coach, Butch Thompson, will be with us in hour number two as well. Tough time to be talking about the baseball team, but he had some insightful things to say to us this morning, and so we're going to have that for you coming up later on this afternoon. Christian, happy Wednesday, happy April 1st, and nothing else. Just happy Wednesday and April 1st.
Happy April to you, sir. Happy end of March.
Flew by, didn't it?
It really, really did. Auburn wins in Atlanta. April Fools.
Yeah, April Fools.
There's the one
there
that we have for you.
That's the one and only.
We said we weren't going to give you one, but there it is. We are discussing a whole lot of that here this afternoon, for better or for worse. I mean, hey, seems like a win to me. You went up 3-0, and then you got to get back on the bus and head back to Auburn early.
Early.
I mean,
You scored first. Again,
as you do every single time you play.
Then
you get to head back to Auburn a little bit earlier. Go ahead and get out of maybe the Atlanta traffic on a Tuesday afternoon. I mean, we know all about that. And so just proactive, a proactive approach for the weekend. And what better way to go about it as you prepare for one of the best teams in the SEC, who also is coming off getting swept. And so thankfully there's no anger on that side of things either. We are diving into the game last night as Auburn baseball continues to struggle, and you feel like the frustration is building. And Coach Butch Thompson, as you mentioned, dove into that here this morning, and talked about how he's never really seen a team like this that's kind of in its own head, and you feel like competitiveness and competition is never a true question, but let everybody know about how he felt about the team from last night. We're going to dive into that. We're also talking about the updated college baseball postseason field, because just about a week and a half ago, we had conversations of a national seed hosting a regional would be good, but the expectation of Auburn baseball is now to be able to host a super regional. Well, as of right now, Auburn's not doing either one of those things. And the place that they are projected to go as of now, and thankfully it's set in stone, go ahead and concrete, sharpie it in, but their projection right now is not necessarily to somewhere favorable, as they would have to go on the road in round one. We're also diving into a conversation that we started when we found out this information a couple of weeks ago, but the ghost portal in college football, as the transfer portal is closed and they were having meetings with the NCAA officials and a whole lot of GMs because of conversations of, oh, I don't like my status here. Let me go ahead and drop out of this university and then maybe just walk on as a wide receiver at this other university. But I never entered the transfer portal. I did it because I'm a student athlete and student comes first. Well, there's punishments for it now, which is very, very relieving. We got news of that about 5 minutes ago, and so we definitely have to put that in our rundown because no Jordan Hill here this afternoon on vacation, and maybe true vacation. Went to Buffalo for vacation last week, but was a relatively quick trip and may not have been overly enjoyable for other than the Buffalo Wings out there. But we are diving into the punishments for the Ghost Portal. All of that coming up here in a really fun hour number one. And we mentioned it's Auburn baseball. Our conversation getting pushed to today after Daryl Dapprich to get hour number two started. He'll join us as he does every single Wednesday right at 3:05. We will have Butch Thompson of Auburn baseball with us at 3:30. A really fun, maybe not fun interview, but fun from the standpoint of being able to pick a coach's mind and dive into a head coach that has been there, done that, but not this year, and how he is brutally getting his wish of his team battling and handling a little adversity and seeing how they can overcome it this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, he must listen to our show often because he tells it like it is. He really did, and he did this morning. And so he had media availability. We had private media availability. Yeah. So I'm excited to have that for you coming up in hour number two. But here in hour number one, phone lines are open for the entire first hour. So if you have thoughts on Auburn baseball as they drop their sixth game in the last seven, they split now with Georgia Tech, and they now have to prepare for Arkansas this weekend, starting tomorrow at Plainsman Park. If you have thoughts on that, give us a call, 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. The text box is also open as well at 334-784-1067. And Auburn falls to Georgia Tech last night in run rule fashion. You said it. They packed up and went home early, 13-3. In just eight innings there at Russ Chandler Stadium. And Auburn, for the fourth game in a row, I believe, scored first. Had a pretty decent lead. And then it all just fell apart.
I guess technically fifth because of the midweek against South Alabama. We don't think about that one because of the run rule in favor of Auburn. But, yeah, for the fifth straight game, Auburn strikes first. And for the fourth straight time, you have to look up at the scoreboard after two of the games, not even having to play nine innings. And it's one thing if you strike first for one, which you did against Alabama. It's another thing when all three of your runs come in the second inning. And we talk about the responses from really good offenses. We talk about the shutdowns for really good pitching staffs and really good defenses. Zeros in the first for both teams. Auburn scores three. A Bub Terrell home run, a Bristol Carter two-run double. Everything's going well for the Auburn Tigers. Until it didn't.
Yeah, and then from that point on, Auburn had one base runner after the third inning. Third inning on, Auburn had one base runner. It was a Bristol Carter walk. That was it. That's all Auburn did offensively, and then pitching just really fell apart, right? We talked yesterday about the changes that Auburn made, right, with Chatterton going yesterday, the different weekend rotation. Butch Thompson goes into that later on and actually gives some interesting updates for who starts this weekend. So again, be sure you come back at 3:30 for that. But it just kind of fell apart for a whole bunch of guys that got into the game for Auburn yesterday. Because, look, I liked the idea of Chatterton starting. I did. And we read the stats yesterday. In three starts, he had given up, like, two hits and a run or something like that, at nine strikeouts. I mean, had really good numbers. And he started both games last year against Georgia Tech, did Christian Chatterton.
Yeah.
And I liked the idea. You took Alvarez out of that spot and put him as an available option for the weekend, right? And on paper, it looked like it was going to work, and then it just kind of fell apart for Auburn.
I think that's the right word. Fell apart.
Crumbled. Apart. Yeah.
Auburn falls to 20-8 now on the season. Georgia Tech 23-5. And again, I think it shows you how good Georgia Tech's offense is, especially in a ballpark like Russ Chandler Stadium, where the ball absolutely flies. But it also doesn't help with a couple of free passes, a couple of inside the parkers, a couple of Little League home runs for Drew Burris. Not a couple, but did have one of them. And It just feels as if we continue the conversation that we had yesterday and even on Monday of the approach at the plate right now doesn't feel as if it was what it was early in the season. Yeah. It feels like Auburn, and we make a lot of golf references for the ease of conversation, feels like on the front nine, Auburn took out the driver, even maybe the mini driver, because they're not necessarily a team that's going to hit eight home runs in a game, but a little mini driver, you stick it out in the middle of the fairway, you took the driver out a couple of times, right center of the fairway, all of a sudden, you made the turn, and I'm feeling good with the driver. Let me start swinging it hard. Mm. Let me start getting a little bit more distance. Next thing you know, yeah, you went 250 yards straight. You also went 100 yards right or left. And now you're having to try and punch out of the trees. The approach at the plate has quickly turned into, in my opinion, like a hero ball type of swing of, all right, let me hit an 8-run home run right here. Let me go ahead and hit a 5-run shot, which is not a thing. But it just doesn't feel like there is that pass the bat, pass the baton mentality that you have seen throughout the early parts of the year. And even in the couple times when you, I guess the times when you beat Texas on Friday, and then even that Saturday contest where in the later innings it was a two-out walk, a two-out single, a two-out single, a two-out walk. It doesn't feel like you're getting any of that. And I think, yes, a little bit of that is a scouting report on this Auburn team because, again, we do have to remember this team is very, very young. Mm-hmm. A lot of freshmen, a lot of sophomores. But I think a lot of it is the mentality that early success can bring. And I think that is why Coach Butch Thompson was almost wishing there was a little bit of a fall on your face in non-conference play because now you're starting to see it. And you're not quite at that time where you can't have it, but as we mentioned yesterday, you're nearing that point.
And you pair that with Auburn's pitching yesterday where five different guys got in and none of them were able to put up a zero in the earned run category. Right, Chatterton gave up five, DeJong gave up two, Brewer gave up two.
I don't believe there was a 1-2-3 inning.
I don't think there was either. Kolick gave up two, and Ethan Harden gave up one. Georgia Tech scored in five of the eight innings that were played last night. And we talk so much, too, about response innings. Auburn goes up 3-0. Not only did Georgia Tech respond, they doubled you up. And it's like, man, what the heck are you supposed to do with that, right? Yeah. And that's just such a killer. And then, yeah, Auburn's bats went just silent after that. Again, one base runner from the third inning on was a walk. And you don't want to be a baseball team that has such good pitching, but that's all you have, right? To where, well, if your pitching is competitive and good, you're going to be in the ball game. But the one night that they don't bring their A game, which 13 runs on 11 hits, and you also had three errors in the field, that didn't help you either, right? That is very difficult to overcome. But there will be games in SEC play, especially where the opposing team puts up 7 or 8 runs. You've got to score 8 or 9. Like, those games happen. But right now, you feel like if a team that Auburn's playing scores more than 3 or 4, it's done. It's over. Ball game.
Especially if they all happen in one inning, where it just feels like the mental competitiveness is just, you almost feel starstruck. And holy cow, that team wasn't supposed to do that, rather than, all right, time to buckle down.
Yeah.
And have the mentality of, well, 6 runs isn't going to win the game anyways here this afternoon. We got to go beat that mark.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't feel, and Butch Thompson talked about it, of this was one of the first times he saw a team that didn't feel very competitive at the plate.
Yeah, and that's scary for Auburn because it's very difficult, and you can speak to this, it's very difficult to just figure it out.
It's very
just
difficult
turn
to,
it on.
Yes, to just, you know, pick it up all of a sudden. And
but it can, when it does happen, it can bleed through everybody in the lineup, everybody on the team. And Auburn's about to play its first home baseball game for the first time in almost 2 weeks, right? And so maybe that is what it takes. I don't know. The bats went cold in the Texas series, which was at home, but I don't know. You've been away for a little bit, right? You played South Alabama in Montgomery. You played Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Just played this game against Georgia Tech in Atlanta. And now you have a very quick turnaround, as quick as you can get. One day in between getting blown out by Georgia Tech and running away with your tail between your legs, and now you got to turn around and play a ticked off Arkansas team who's in the exact same situation you are.
In a weird series that's one of those Thursday, Friday, Saturdays that you're not necessarily used to, which changes up the pitching rotation, which just changes up the mentality, right? I mean, a Friday evening start is one thing. Thursday is one of those mental barriers that you have to overcome, because it is. It's going to feel a little bit different because it's not going to be the regular routine, maybe from the start time and when you take BP, but things are going to feel just a little bit different. This can get worked out, and we've had conversations on this throughout the season of, okay, how nice is it for this Auburn team to get out of their own ballpark, right? You played so many home games in the non-conference play, but even when you went to Arlington after getting beat by Cincinnati, it was okay, let's let this team go on a little bit of a road trip. Let's let this team figure some things out, and they did that. Now you feel like it's almost the flip side of the conversation of, okay, now you're seeing almost not the dog days of summer, but the dog days of a long road trip. And now you're ready to get back home, get back in your ballpark where you know the warning track, you know the batter's eye, you know the dimensions. Things feel a little bit more routine, but there's no time from the standpoint of the opponent to kind of ease your way back into a routine.
Yeah, Arkansas comes to town. Auburn's on a 4-game losing streak. Arkansas is on a 4-game losing streak. Arkansas got swept by Florida this past weekend. They then went to Springfield, Missouri on Tuesday night to take on Missouri State on the road. Don't ask me why they did it. I have no idea, but Arkansas decided to do it, and they're probably regretting doing it. They lost 15-14 in extras last night. At least you lost an offensive battle. At least you were just hitting the baseball around and both teams getting on, getting them over, getting them in, and just seeing what the heck happens in a drunk baseball game, right? Auburn was shut down by the third inning last night, and most people turned it off, right? But you've got two baseball teams this weekend, starting tomorrow in Plainsman Park. Two baseball teams who are on a 4-game losing streak, who are coming off a sweep in the SEC, being swept in the SEC, in a series that by no means do we want to already be having the conversations of, it's a must-win series. Must win. Gotta have it. Can't afford to lose it, right? Season's on the line. We're not going that far, but you gotta make up some ground. And both teams are looking at this weekend to be that opportunity, because put yourself in the Arkansas mindset for a moment before we take a break. Arkansas is on a 4-game losing streak, but they're looking across the way from the other dugout. Right on the plane this morning, flying into Auburn, they're saying, that team doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
That team is down bad. This is our chance to get right. This is our chance to get back and show why we were a top five team in college baseball last week. Arkansas has to be licking their chops looking at this game this week.
Yeah, by no means is Auburn being looked at as one of the easier road trips, but I would say right now, based off the calendar and based off of what has happened leading up to this game, Arkansas is in a very favorable spot, at least mentally, of if you're Van Horn or you're that offensive coach and you're sitting there going, you put up two runs and this team crumbles. Yep. Their at-bats, their approach just goes out the window.
They're barking at the whole flight here, buddy.
It's really easy to, and sometimes it's false confidence, but it's really easy to stack confidence when you're doing it against another team where it feels like you're taking it from them. Mm-hmm. Rather than when things are going right, and even if, almost like Auburn and Texas at the time of, yes, it was frustrating, but you don't feel like Auburn truly lost confidence from that series. Even though a couple of the games were very winnable, people talked about that being an Omaha type of series or a super regional type of series. Now you're at the point of your Auburn where you almost have to re-identify and re-figure out how to win a baseball game to get that confidence back, and it makes it that much easier if the momentum splits 50-50 right through the middle of the plate, right through the middle of the field. It's a whole lot easier, even on the road, for a road team to get up early and kind of throw that first haymaker, even in that first little jab. Makes things that much easier, almost like a tug-of-war match when the big guy in the back starts leaning back and you can just feel how much easier everything gets. It's kind of where Auburn's at right now. I'm not at the point where you are, or agreeing where you are, of you got to sweep. But I think you're at the point where you got to figure some things out. But it can't be figuring some things out with losses in there either.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you on that. Auburn and Arkansas are both 4-5 in SEC play. They have yet to get a sweep. Auburn has, of course, with the sweep of Missouri. Here's the difference, though, as we go to break. You talk about finding a way to win and relearning how to win baseball games, right? The only series Auburn has won was the Missouri series where you swept. In a weird doubleheader, right? Auburn was the better team. I'm not questioning that. You had to come back in dramatic fashion to beat Texas, and you have not won since, other than the South Alabama game in the midweek. Arkansas has a series win over Mississippi State, who sits atop the SEC standings right now. That's what Arkansas has. They have it. They have something to go back to right now and say, hey, remember when you took 2 out of 3 against that Mississippi State team? Remember when you outscored them the way that you did? Remember when you took them, and that was at a doubleheader too, by the way, on a Saturday, right? They also beat South Carolina, which doesn't say a ton, but they did it. That's what Arkansas has compared to Auburn right now. But the Tigers could do that this weekend against Arkansas and use that the rest of the way.
Auburn's going to have their chances. Their starters you're most likely going to see this weekend. 221, 273, and 217 is what opponents hit off of them.
Which is solid.
I mean,
but
217 and 221 are still very solid opponent ERAs, or batting averages, rather. But it's not like you're going up against three dogs that have a .5 whip. I mean, you're going to have your offensive chances, and I think I trust the pitching staff to be just fine when it comes to a weekend series. But maybe the confidence is lower just a little bit with the bullpen game. I mean, you got to figure some things out if you're Auburn.
Yeah, no doubt. And it starts tomorrow as Arkansas comes to town. We'll take our first break here in hour number one. We'll come back in this skid for Auburn. They have fallen in the rankings. They've also fallen in the postseason projections. Auburn no longer supposed to host a regional or a super, or I guess a super or a regional. They're traveling as of right now. We'll talk about what the projections say and how Auburn can turn it around right after this, as we are just underway here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
This is Amber from Amber and Ian. You're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Got a couple of minutes before we take our bottom of the hour break. Phone lines are open if you want to be part of the show. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. You can give us a call, or you can shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. And D1 Baseball gave us their updated postseason projections, right? And it's important to recognize that we are halfway through the college baseball regular season. That's kind of scary to think about. But not halfway through conference play, but halfway through the entire baseball regular season, okay? And so they gave us their midseason field of 64, did D1 Baseball, and they're relevant. They're one of the two or three big, obviously, baseball outlets. And Auburn has gone from a one seed and possibly a top eight national seed, meaning you would host a regional and host a super if you win it. Auburn has dropped all the way out of that completely to a two seed. And by these rankings and these projections, it looks to be Auburn as like the 18th best team, give or take, to where they would be heading to the 15 overall seed in Conway, South Carolina, to Coastal Carolina.
Let's go.
Rematch, baby. It's all a mental, it's a mental mind game yeah. for and Auburn then, baseball.
And then if they win that, Texas is on the other side of the bracket. So it's just a true mind game of Auburn going to Coastal,
Revenge.
And then Auburn going to Austin.
It's a revenge tour.
Revenge on the mind of the Tigers.
Can't tell me Butch isn't the best in the game, man. They know what they're doing.
He looks at the long run, baby. We just tanked early.
Auburn is a numbers program, man. They know. They know. Tell us something, man. Yeah, no, Auburn has fallen completely out of that. And look, there is a lot of baseball, okay, to be played. But the latest postseason projections, yeah, have Auburn not hosting anything and traveling to Coastal Carolina for a regional.
You know what I know? What really sucks? You look a little bit down. You look at the 5-12 matchup. Virginia right now is a national seed, is the number 5 seed. Alabama has moved up to the 12th seed, hosting their regional in Tuscaloosa. And not as much on the Tuscaloosa side of things, but look over in that Virginia bracket. The LSU Tigers are the 2 seed in that.
Yeah.
So if it sat right now and LSU was able to defeat Virginia, Alabama would host a super regional.
Oh, that's disgusting.
For a team that has cared about baseball for 3 weeks.
For 3 weeks, man. That is horrible. LSU as a 2 seed is nasty. I know they're still struggling to figure it out. Look at the 2 seeds in this thing, man.
Oh, right now, I mean, you have Oklahoma as a 2 seed. You have Tennessee as a 3 seed. Ole Miss as a 2 seed.
NC State is a 2 seed.
Ole Miss going
Cincinnati?
To Southern Miss. Ole Miss going to Hattiesburg.
Golly,
Arkansas
Nebraska.
Going to Oregon State.
Kentucky, God bless. There's a lot of... were we talking with Chris Gordy about this the other day, where any SEC team as a 2 seed just seems unfair?
Yeah, well, that's why, again, perfectly looking at, if you want to host a super regional as one of the top, or I guess as the 9th to the 16 seed, just hope that the SEC team is the 2 seed in the other brackets. And that's kind of where Alabama sits as of right now, with LSU being one of the 2 seeds.
Arkansas, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Kentucky, LSU, and Auburn, or Texas A&M as well, all SEC teams that are 2 seeds in college baseball in playoff mode right now. We'll take a break from baseball, come back, and zoom out on the transfer portal right after this.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. No Jordan Hill today, as we normally do on Wednesdays. He took... so ridiculous.
Another vacation.
Personal time for a vacation.
I mean, in the busiest time of the year...
I mean, come on, man.
It's ridiculous.
It's actually slowed down in his world, I would think, for a guy that covers Georgia football with no
halfway
portal
sarcasm
now.
On my end. I don't know if you...
I didn't pick up on that. No. Put a little bit more oomph and emphasis on the sarcasm there.
In, like, the...
So, no Jordan Hill today. We will pick back up with him next week, where we'll have more days of Georgia spring practice to catch up on. We'll be getting very close to the NFL draft, so we'll be able to talk about that. Plus, that's the day after the basketball transfer portal opens, so we will actually be able to talk to him about Georgia basketball and the transfer portal as well. So there will be plenty to talk about with Jordan next week.
So far, they've already had 2 planned
big ones
to enter, with Wilkinson and then Santo Surreal yesterday or the day before. So two big names that are not going in the right direction for what Jordan was fearful of on the conversations of, did people buy into what Mike White did? He said, well, transfer portal is going to tell us a whole lot, whether he was able to retain or recruit. And so far,
I keep hearing that not surreal, but
Jeremiah Wilkinson.
Yes, I keep hearing that the SEC, he will remain in the SEC.
Oh, I don't doubt that. At all.
I've heard that a bunch. Not a team in particular, but I just continue to read and see things that he will stay in the SEC.
There's a team across the state. Hell, both teams in the state are looking for point guards.
Yeah, I mean, and I think he would do good at either one of them, or Kentucky, too. I think they could be in that category. I don't know what their high school recruiting looks like, Kentucky, for a point guard. But I know they're going after another kid, smaller school kid that entered, I forget. Some purple team, I forget what it is, that Kentucky's going after a kid. Anyway, we'll talk to Jordan Hill next week of Dogs 247. But speaking of the transfer portal...
Before we dive into that, I know we're hitting the ghost portal. Did you see, total free-for-all Friday type of interruption here, the call from C.B. Buckner last night in the Brewers game?
Oh, no. That's the home plate official, right?
He was the first base umpire last night.
Oh, God. What'd they do? Point down for...
But it was a couple of days ago where he missed like five straight low strikes and they reviewed it every single time. No, line drive hit to second, diving stop by the second baseman.
Okay.
Picked it up, went in and out of his glove. Picked it up in shallow right field, tried to hurry, throw it to first, went wide of the first baseman. They've been through back to first, and Buckner said that the Brewers, I forgot exactly who it was, did not touch the first base bag. You have not seen this?
No.
Oh, my gosh. So they said that he just missed the first base bag. Not the fact that he went back, you know, almost turned towards second and stopped where he gets tagged out.
Mm-hmm.
They said that Buckner, the first base umpire, said that he did not touch the first base bag. And both teams sat there and smiled, and the Brewers obviously reviewed it, and the review took 4 seconds.
Oh,
they looked at it and saw that the dude stepped completely normally on the first base bag.
You're saying the runner didn't step on the bag?
That was what Buckner was saying,
right.
But he very clearly did.
Okay.
And they looked at Buckner's eyes, and he's sitting there looking in foul ground at the baseball when first base is off to his right.
God.
All of this to be said, not joking about this, but I'm sure that both teams this afternoon are not totally happy about it. Buckner left Wednesday's game just a few moments ago after taking a foul ball to the face mask. Not that that's what we're joking about, but it's the fact of, oh no.
Yeah, hope you're okay, but wow.
No, so that was the notification that I got.
Wow, okay. Well, somebody just texted in the text box, which is open at 334-784-1067, and says, when kids can do better, it's time to go.
I mean, it's...
it's gotten bad. And look, the thing with the ABS, you know I'm a fan of it. You know I am. And all the videos I've seen are home plate umpires when either the batter or the catcher taps their head and is calling for the review.
Yeah.
They get frustrated every time. They they do the little hand throw.
And after like the third one, the batter's challenging the pitch.
Yeah, and they look up and they just, you know, hand on the hip. And then because the ABS has been right 90% of the time, and we talked the other day about splitting hairs of like half an inch and things like that. That's one thing. But most of the ones I've at least seen on social media have been, you're talking a whole ball or two in or out of the zone. And it's like, okay, you can't get frustrated because they're challenging stuff you've gotten away with for years.
Oh, yeah. They've talked about, there's been legitimate conversations on which umpires are going to have to adjust the most to ABS, or which ones are going to be pushed out of the league by ABS.
Oh, I gotta find the stat. Hold on.
Well, while you're doing that, I wanted to say for the very first time, as I was going to X, formerly known as Twitter, to show you the video and make great radio, for the very first time, I got April Fooled.
Really? I have not got today.
It was like the very first... it took 3 seconds for me to realize it, but... UCF Men's Hoops tweeted out that breaking news, Devin Cambridge was granted an 8th year of eligibility, and I went to go click on the comments, and their very first comment said, always check your calendar.
Oh, God.
But for that
for
that 2.5 seconds, that one did.
There's got to be a fine line of like legitimate organizations not tweeting stuff
out.
Yeah,
it was
April
the
Fool's.
Official.
Like, come on, man.
The
like,
official account.
That's stupid.
Here we go. This is terrible radio while you're looking up this stat.
Yeah, I'm looking up a stat on the ABS stuff.
Here we go. The actual play.
All right, I'm watching the play that you're talking about. Let's see. All right, so you're right. Liner to second, dives into right, can't hold it, throws wild of the bag, steps on the bag, obviously runs down the path out of the line. And where's the review coming in? So they said the runner did not step on the bag, right? That's what he's saying. Oh, my gosh. Here we go.
Yeah, they're saying he missed it, so they went and then picked it up and stepped on first and called him out.
Yeah, and so now they're going to review it. C.B. Buckner. Yeah, this guy's had a horrible first week of baseball. I mean, this has been horrific. Come on, give me the replay. Come on. I don't know, you were showing me a 4-minute video. Come on. Oh, you fast forward. Oh, here we go. All right. Bro, he couldn't have stepped more on it on square.
They'll show it again from closer up.
And then, yeah, you said Buckner's just looking. Was he looking at the ball that went past the bag? That's what he was doing?
And then still decided to make the call that the runner didn't step on first.
I mean.
Sorry, yeah. Of course, the first video was the John Boy 8-minute breakdown.
Well, John Boy's a legend anyway. I can't find the stat, but I think it was our buddy Lindsey Crosby who put out a stat that said of the first initial ABS challenges and things that have been put out, it was, and I don't remember what the age range on it was, but basically, and you're going to be like, what? No way. The old umpires in the game are really struggling with this, but the young umpires are not. It's crazy how that works. Again, if I can find it, I'll read it out, but that's basically what it was, is the old umpires in Major League Baseball are getting railed by this ABS system. The young umpires aren't getting hurt by it as much. Wow. You know what I mean? Like,
goes to show you the conversation of why the old veteran pitchers don't want ABS, because they talked about, who was it the other day? Was it Blake Snell? I don't think it was him. Blake Snell is a little bit more likable. It was Glasnow. No. Hold on. It was Walker Buehler. That's who it was. I know it was a pitcher I didn't like, where he was talking about, I've been in the league for this many years, I should be able to get a ball off the plate on either side. And it was like, that's such a veteran pitcher's mentality.
Oh, Tripp said he found the stat. Go ahead, Tripp. Pod your mic up, producer Tripp. Upton here. Did you find it?
Yeah. This is on the nationaltoday.com. It's some Chicago newspaper, I think. It says that through the first 35 games of the season, the MLB's 10 youngest umpires have been overturned 39%. Of the time, while the 10 oldest had a 69% overturn rate.
Boom. A 30% difference in success rate in the ABS compared to the 10 oldest umpires and the 10 youngest umpires. Thank you, Tripp.
And CB Buckner, while we're just sticking on that man, catching strays this afternoon in Auburn, Alabama, he already had 5 overturned in his first outing behind the plate. And apparently, there was a conversation where there could have been 15 more if every single one that was incorrect was challenged.
Jeez.
I've never been a fan of it.
I know.
And you know that I am the furthest one from it. But accuracy is very satisfying to see.
Yes.
I'll stick it at that.
Yeah.
Do I? That's a conversation for another day.
Okay. Yeah.
Ghost Portal.
Yeah. Talk about something else that Christian doesn't like, and nobody else likes it either. And round of applause.
That action was taken?
The action was taken. A rule was put in place in a timely manner. I mean, this came about like, a month ago? I mean, we talked about this like beginning to early March, right?
And this was not they're having discussions now. It was at the future meetings they will have discussions about it. So you can even take 2 weeks out of the conversation. Even more of a round of applause.
Give him another one.
It didn't take a full month. It took a few conversations to be had and a few meetings of legitimacy for people to go, you know what? Huh. Maybe this isn't good for our sport.
Breaking news. As of about an hour ago, the NCAA has passed a blind transfer legislation for all Division I sports. So don't get this confused. This is not just a football problem. Football was the one that sparked it.
Shocker. Just because, that transfer portal season was the one that just ended.
Right, and there's no more spring portal window, which is what all of this was. A reminder on what all of this stuff was with the blind transfer, which is the technical term for it. The ghost portal is what a lot of us, talking heads have labeled it as. But the idea of a player in a certain sport transferring to another school but not doing it via the portal, dropping out of school and enrolling somewhere else.
Sorry, I'm trying to focus. We got Tripp's airplane taking off in front of the board. I hear it through my headset.
That laptop has seen better days, huh, Tripp?
Yeah, I got this thing freshman year of high school, and I'm now graduated from college. I have one tab open, by the way, and it is the rundown. When I pulled up that ad, it must have just killed my CPU. Apologies.
Yeah, I mean, it's got all four fans are just it's just going, man. It's ready to go. It's like a biplane, man.
It is. It's about to.
The planes that land on the water. That's what Tripp's got going right now.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, he moved it. Oh, there you go. Anyway.
But no,
this has been a terrible radio segment.
It's entertaining. You just haven't.
Is it?
I would say so.
For us.
I would like it. The legislation approved on Wednesday. Again, it imposes severe penalties on programs that accept players who transfer without entering the transfer portal. This was an article written by Brandon Marcello about 20 minutes ago. Talking about the penalties that would happen, again, with this conversation, a half-season suspension for the head coach from all coaching all recruiting and all administrative duties, and a fine equal to 20% of the school's football budget.
It's pretty big.
It's a big deal. There were conversations, I believe, when this was first talked about.
Some would say massive.
Of hit your shots. but there were conversations of possible 2 or 3 game suspensions and like 10%. And they said, no, we're doubling everything. We're putting all of our chips in the middle because this is not going to be a part of our game. And again, we've given props to him. We'll give him a round of applause again if we need to. Coach Clark, talking about the D1 cabinet, said, quote, "This is a necessary step to address a critical roster management issue that is facing our sport and to protect the integrity of the football's transfer portal window."
Good for them. This was needed. This was necessary. This a problem presented itself. The NCAA had acknowledged it, and they fixed it. And so now you cannot have Ole Miss and Pete Golding just randomly add a power conference safety that just unenrolled from the University of Cincinnati and moved to Oxford, Mississippi, right? This is a good thing. And again, this is across all sports. Again, it will be a major focus on football, but as far as I can see and tell, this goes for every sport to where it's a week before the season and Coach Crouch for Auburn Volleyball can't go out and find, you know, some girl that didn't want to play at Kentucky anymore, so she dropped out and re-enrolled at Auburn, right? Not saying they would. I'm just saying, for example, seems to me that's what this is. And this is a big deal. This has to take the stress off of some of these coaches right now where, I mean, we talk about college football because there's no spring portal window, but what about college basketball, right? The portal that opens in less than a week for college basketball, where if Auburn swings and misses on a couple of guys, they can't just go add somebody randomly in October before the season starts.
Yeah, that or, I'll agree to a new deal. I'll get that first major check up front, and then, you know what? I don't want to play basketball here anymore. I'm going to drop out. But weirdly enough, the school on the other side of the state has my major, and I really want to go become an accounting major. I want to get an accounting degree where I can count all my millies. But no, it is. It's fantastic news. And on the Auburn side of things, I know that we were not going to have a major discussion on this side of things, but we heard the rumblings of Auburn being in this conversation, not on the receiving end of it, but a couple players on the football team having major conversations of Auburn being a victim to the ghost portal. And so, again, we don't know the names. We don't really have a lot of that information, but a couple trusted sources able to talk to us about that on Auburn being victim. And so a major sigh of relief on not only the spring portal being gone, but now eliminating a whole lot of the conversations of basically a fake spring portal as well.
And one thing that we typically highlight when something like this gets implemented by the NCAA is, okay, that's cool and all, that's cute, but how are you going to enforce it? This one seems pretty cut and dry. It's like, okay, here's your reported roster. This guy wasn't on it 2 months ago. Where did he come from? And if things don't check out, boom, you investigate, you look into it, should be pretty plain and simple, should be pretty clear, I would think. Yeah, cut and dry. And if that's the case, half of the season, so for a football coach, 6 games, where not only are you not on the sideline on Saturday, you're not in the building at all. Like, you are banished from your program for 6 weeks.
From any sort of duties, and I'm sure that if you're caught recruiting on that side of things, the punishment would be even more severe. And now it brings up the conversation and the idea of how long until something like this happens, but it's a player who's not going to play that current season. I wonder if there's any sort of punishment on that side of things of this freshman receiver didn't like where he was at after the spring, realized, okay, I am a little bit further down in the depth chart. Let me go ahead and start collecting money from the other school. However, I'm not going to play this season. I would imagine that that will be a little tap on the butt. Okay, you're fine on that side of things. But
yeah, and I feel like that'd be rare, too.
Very much so, yeah.
Still could happen. I think about, too, like the situations we were seeing back in the early days of the portal where so-and-so is playing football at LSU but has a sick mom up in, you know, New Jersey and is trying to go to Rutgers or something like that. Yeah. And we saw a bunch of those, and a lot of those lawsuits got really ugly, right?
Yeah, I wonder, the NCAA, somewhere, those were the ones that got declined.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But it's, yeah, so I wonder on all of that, on how clear that's going to be, but I have a weird confidence that the NCAA will be able to enforce these new rules about the ghost portal. Because, again, it seems to be pretty cut and dry of, here's your reported roster on day one of spring practice, right? And we just noticed that there's another running back in the rotation come August.
Uh-huh.
And a new enrollee in the school. Where'd he come from? How'd you do that?
I remember that last name. Didn't he lead this team in rushing touchdowns last year?
Exactly. So it should be pretty straightforward.
On our way to break, I know we're going to have a very quick segment to wrap up hour number one. An AAC coach and kind of an ACC coach that are in this article are on the same type of belief that we are. The AAC coach said, it's going to add legal chaos. It will keep rosters mostly intact until one player wins a lawsuit. An ACC coach says, well, if they actually do it to somebody who violates it, absolutely, it will work. But how do we know it will happen?
Comes back to executing, right? And actually enforcing the laws. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one very quickly right after this.
This is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, quickly wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. And, man, baseball season's back. That's all you need to know. The boys are boying in the studio. I don't even know. That's a term that I just made up. You got to love first inning dingers. Gotta love,
especially with like the best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't fall victim to it.
Nope, not today. Not him. Fell victim to others, but
yeah.
Paul Skenes did what he's supposed to do today.
He did.
He did what he's. It was a little sketchy, but he did. Couple of guys did what they were supposed to do today. Acuna did not. Still has not hit one. He's due though. Bryce Harper hit one. He was due.
He's very much due.
There's a lot of guys starting to hit one. I would love the Phillies to do what they're supposed to do.
All these early games, man, are so hit and miss on what should or should not happen. You feel like it usually favors the arms on the mounds, but then there's teams like the Marlins that just go and put up crooked number innings and three straight innings, and you know that one hurts for other reasons, but baseball is officially back, and the Braves win the series against the A's. So,
what is it now? What's the possible count? They have two losses on the year, right?
Oh, yeah.
So 160,
158 and two, baby.
158 and two. Wait,
160 and two.
Yeah, there you go. Possible. All right, hour number one's in the book. Stick around. A guest heavy hour number two coming up.
Following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on this Wednesday afternoon, the first day of a new month. It is April 1st, man. Crazy to think that 3 months of the year have come and gone. So is the first hour of today's show. It is over. It is done. It is not coming back. But you can always go back and listen. So I guess it's not coming back, but you can always find it if you want to in the podcast version of the show. We post it for you every single day on our station website at ESPNAU.com. In that first hour, we talked about Auburn baseball as they unfortunately lose another one. They go to Georgia Tech. They fall to the Yellow Jackets. And so now they come home to host Arkansas this weekend, starting tomorrow for a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. We talked about that in hour number one, the updated postseason projections for college baseball, where the Tigers will not be hosting anything at Plainsman Park if the season were to end today. And also, some punishments have been put in by the NCAA for the Ghost Portal. So, good things all the way around on that side of things. We recapped a lot of Auburn baseball. So, again, all of that was in hour number one of today's show, and it can be found on our station website in the podcast center at ESPNAU.com.
Here in hour number two, we got our guy Butch Thompson of Auburn Baseball, the head coach, joining us at 3:30 as he was able to talk with Jacob here earlier this morning about the skid that Auburn Baseball is going through. And safe to say, he let some emotion go and talked a little bit about his team and what he did see, what he has not seen from his team over the past couple of weeks. But we start our second hour here this afternoon, as we do every single Wednesday at 3 o'clock, a guy that will love talking about a Pirates win here this afternoon, Daryl Dappridge, Double D of Locked On Auburn and the Barn. I mean, you got to celebrate the wins when you can get them when Skeens is on the mounds, now that he finally gets one after not having O'Neill Cruz in center field.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm cleaning my office up with confetti. I'm vacuuming up. The Pirates are at 500, and I am just living my best. The Penguins have won two big games in a row back-to-back. They look playoff-bound. Yeah, it's looking up a little bit after the way they started out that series with the Mets. But, yeah, took the series with the Reds, and going back home to PNC Park, and we'll see what happens.
That's so
funny.
See if
funny. This is the year they get back to playing some October baseball.
Man, well, we're so excited to talk to you. We missed you last week, and I'm excited to have you back and talking all things Auburn athletics, and there's so much to talk about with Auburn basketball competing in the NIT Final Four tomorrow night, Auburn baseball trying to get back in the win column tomorrow night, and spring football underway for the Tigers as well. And I think we should start with basketball because we have not gotten there today, but we did talk yesterday about the new addition for Auburn basketball, where they will have a true center on the floor this time next season. Daryl, your thoughts on the 7-foot French professional player? How dare the Auburn Tigers add a pro player to the roster, Double D?
It's hilarious. It's so similar to the Jovic situation. I was watching a podcast earlier where they were describing that Narcisse came from a higher level of mid-major basketball over in France. It's how there's an A-League, which mm-hmm. is like the Power Four, you know, the big schools, like would have been a big school over here, and then there's Class B, and he's in the higher level of that mid-major. So look, here's the deal, you know. He's not a project. He's not somebody. I think he's somebody that can come in and play significant minutes right away. I know that Auburn's going after a couple of other bigs as well, so I don't know how that will work if he'll come off the bench. But I think he's going to play significant minutes. I think he has a chance to start. He's not going to be a guy that scores a lot of points. He probably could get to double digits, but he's going to be efficient, I think, as far as his scoring. And very, very good rebounder, elite rebounder, and elite shot blocker. Sounds a lot like, you know, and I hate to ever do comps, but a lot like a Dylan Cardwell type. Remember, I mean, Dylan didn't average double digits, but he got a lot of rebounds. He was a good defensive guy, and he was efficient in his time per minute on the floor. So this is a good get, and this is a guy that could start.
Well, we're really excited about, again, the opportunity. We dove into a lot of the stats yesterday, talking about Auburn basketball, the comparisons of just last year and this year, not even necessarily the players in specifics, but the numbers that went Auburn's way. Auburn had over 100 more rebounds last year versus this year, which averages out to, what, 2.5, 3 a game. But when you look at that as a you're less rebounds for you, more rebounds for the opponent, I mean, that's 3 or 4 possessions in a single game. And so it feels like the paint presence, and Daryl, I feel like Steven may have heard a little bit of the noise, and not that he needed to hear any of it. He knows his team better than all of us, but what do you want to see Auburn do after this season gets done? Is there a position, maybe not any specific names, but where do you think that Steven Pearl needs to attack once the April 7th transfer portal line hits?
Great question, and I have a very specific answer to that, so I'm glad you asked. If I had my way, I think let's just assume that Auburn returns 5 or 6 guys from that roster, including Tahad, because I'm starting to hear more like there's a possibility he could be staying. So let's say, you know, Auburn keeps Sway, Freeman, Jovich, Overton, and Tahad. What I would like to see Auburn do from a roster reconstruction standpoint is maybe go out and get 4 guys now that they have what they have in the French force there. I would say a true point guard, a true distributor, guy that can slash to the basket, still a threat from 3, then get a hybrid guy, a guy that can play the 1 or the 2 to come off the bench, maybe slide Tahad to the 2 in that scenario.
I was going to ask, Daryl, if you were the ones that we've had the conversation of letting Tahad work off the ball a little bit more.
I would. I think it frees up his shot. I think he gets space that way. I think it's a lot easier to cut and back cut and screen for somebody off the ball than when they have the ball. Because when they have the ball, they stop. They have to stop and allow that cutter, that screener to come to them. When you're off the ball, you're getting chased. And when you're getting chased, there's a lot more movement, there's a lot more space. And I think then he's doubly dangerous because then he can shoot off a screen, but he could also opens up some space where he could drive because he's a good driver.
No stress of bringing the ball up the floor too, Daryl.
Exactly. And so I'd have him at the 2. I would go out and get a stretch three to replace Keyshawn, a guy that's a natural scorer, a 6'7", 6'8 guy that can also stroke it, can shoot it, you know, probably get, and then I would get another, you know, hybrid 4-5 guy that can play a power forward or play the 5 if you need to. And I think if you did that, if you got those 4 guys to combine with the 5 or 6 that could be returning, then you've got some nice depth and some nice balance.
Well, that'll be happening over the next couple of weeks. Again, the college basketball transfer portal opens on April 7th. It'll be open for 2 weeks until the 21st. And just a reminder for fans, that's the 2-week window that players have to enter their name in the transfer portal, right? They don't have to be committed in that time, but it'll be a free-for-all for trying to build the roster for next season. We're talking to Daryl Dapperich of Locked On Auburn in the Barn here on ESPN 106.7. But that'll be next week's problem. Tigers are still playing college basketball, Daryl. They've got a Final Four coming up tomorrow against Illinois State. If they win that up in Indianapolis, they'll have the championship game on Sunday. Your thoughts on that? Your intentions on diving deep into those results? And if you are, what are you looking for in this game tomorrow in the possible championship game on Sunday night?
Illinois State, a basketball team that, you know, mid-majors, won 24 games, does not play particularly well on the road or in neutral venue. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, they've played, if you go back and look at some of the teams they've played, some teams like Utah State that was in the NCAA tournament, some other teams like that. They're playing good basketball. They're hot right now. But I think Auburn's playing, you know, fairly well. I mean, they're not blowing anybody out. They're finding ways to win. I think it's a little concerning. There's this trend where they get up 15, 16, 14, 14 points in a game under 5 minutes and then start to let the lead slip away. So I think they'll need to get that cleaned up. But look, I was one of those guys that said, hey, I just don't see any benefit in accepting an NIT bid. And I was wrong. I mean, they've played 3 more basketball games. They've had an opportunity to see what some certain rotations look like. Steven's had an opportunity to coach more games. I like what they're doing as far as, you know, every game you stack and every game you keep playing, you get more opportunities. And to hear that some of the players that were absolutely emphatic that they play and voted for that, the deeper issue to me is, look, if they win the tournament, great. To me, it's almost like winning the preseason NIT or anything like that. I get it. It's a, you know, still a postseason tournament, but it reads or feels more like a preseason tournament. So you, if you win it, that's awesome. You get a trophy. You won a tournament. I think for me, more than anything else, the biggest takeaway from this is how this team has not quit on Stephen Pearl. And when it looked like they had nothing to play for, still wanted to play. And I like that. I think there's a lot to be garnered and gained from that going forward.
Darryl, want to flip over to the college baseball side of things, as I know that you are a lover of the major league sports, but I know you're a lover of Auburn baseball as well. And Butch Thompson's squad reeling just a little bit. We're going to speak with him here in just a few moments about the skid that Auburn has dealt with over the past couple of weeks, the past couple of weekends, and it feels like it's coming at the offensive spot. It's coming in the batter's box. There's a lot of question marks on the approach pregame, the communication that goes on batter by batter, and just the overall fights that you feel like this team has. Is there something that you can pinpoint with this Auburn baseball team over their last couple of games falling to a lot of really quality teams?
Well, I think I said all along that pitching and defense would play, but I felt like early in the year their pitching staff over exceeded expectations, and they really were flashing some leather, playing good defense. That was keeping them in games until they could get timely base hits. At some point, you're going to have to hit the baseball at the SEC level, and you're going to have to hit it at a high level. And I just think it's cyclical. I think Auburn will eventually, the bats will come around. I mean, you know, they hammered Georgia Tech a couple weeks ago, midweek. They won, you know, they put some runs on the board. But even those games at Mizzou, if you think about it, those first two games, 2-1, 4-1, you know, they were tight games. And then Texas, they didn't score a lot of runs in those games. So there has been kind of this trend since they started SEC play that runs are hard to come by, and it's difficult. You're living on the edge in this conference if you think you can win 3-2, 4-3, that kind of thing. Just a matter of time, you can't. Bats are going to have to wake up. And I think there are some guys that Auburn was counting on from a hitting standpoint. The bats in the lineup just are not producing right now. And they've got to get going. And if they don't get going, you shake up the lineup. You know, maybe you bring a couple guys off the bench and see if maybe they can spark something. But it's difficult because you're seeing really, really good arms. You're going to see some in Arkansas this weekend. Yeah. And, you know, the bats have to wake up. It's a very simplistic thing. They're playing good enough defense and they're pitching well enough to win games. Those Alabama series, you know, they got into the ninth inning both times with a great ERA in those games. Just couldn't get that big hit to get to take the lead. So it'll happen. I think it'll come. I think there's too much talent in this lineup. But remember, more than anything else, guys, look at the age and the grades of these guys in this lineup. Mm-hmm. This team is so freshman and sophomore-centric, and that a lot of times lends itself to inconsistency. You can get hot, you can get cold. You haven't been in the league long enough. You haven't been in the conference long enough to gain that sustainability. So I think that's part of the reason why you're seeing a little Jekyll and Hyde right now, is because they are so young.
Well, Darryl, we've talked about, and you've been around baseball long enough to know how infectious and contagious stretches like this can be, right? With especially offensively, or whether it's, you know, fielding problems or whatever the case may be, where if one guy struggles, then two guys struggle. And right now for Auburn, it's everybody struggling in the lineup. Do you think that the youngness of this team is causing that infectious trend to be even more so?
I absolutely do, because they have nothing to draw from an experience standpoint in this conference to say, we'll be fine. I'll get out of it. I'll go 0-4 tonight. I went 0-4 tonight, but I'll go 2-4 tomorrow. You don't have that game experiences to draw from. And then when you're young like that, you start to doubt. It starts to creep in, you know, and you look around and you're like, wow, you know, am I able to sustain a long SEC schedule and hit like how, you know, we came in early hitting. So it is a thing of youth that can make a difference, because you've got no experiences to draw from, and then you start gripping the bat a little bit tighter. It starts to be contagious. Self-doubt creeps in. I think just like it's contagious when you're struggling, it's contagious when you start hitting the ball well. I think one game could completely launch this team. If they put a 10 spot, 12 spot on the board against Arkansas Friday night, it could propel them into getting the bats going again.
It is Double D Wednesday here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We got our guy Daryl Dapperidge from Locked On Auburn and the Barn, who joins us every Wednesday to start hour number two at 3:05. And we're going to hit all three major sports here, my friend, as Auburn football now a week or so into spring practice. And we've got to see the guys several times, got to talk to Coach Golish and kind of get some insight on what's going on over with Auburn football. Your early takeaways from spring practice in terms of the energy, the vibes, and some of the development of the new guys for Auburn so far?
I'm of the theory that you can't win any games in the spring because of culture and attitude and vibes, but you dang sure can lose them. And I think there have been times in the past that even before Auburn went into fall practice, there was a culture or a mentality that handicapped them, that made it difficult once the season started and the proof of concept. So they are doing the things they're supposed to be doing to set themselves up to have a good year. Now, that's got to equate to performance on the field. The little things have to matter. You have to do them right when the lights come on. You can talk about doing them right in practice. You can talk about running routes against air correctly. But my point is, I think I've seen Auburn football teams in the past do that kind of stuff wrong, even in the spring, not have the right culture,
yeah,
not run routes effectively, not finish out your route to the top of the route and run your route hard all the way through, you know, not taking the extra time to do that drill the way it needs to be done and be purposeful and intentional. These things are not an issue when it comes to Alex Golish and this coaching staff. They will handle the little things. And I do like this culture. I like the closeness of this team, especially when you've got a bunch of USF guys and how they've indoctrinated themselves into this team. They play like they are privileged, not entitled. And they feel privileged to be out there, not entitled. And it's this gratitude, man, that I see. It's really refreshing. And
yeah,
there are just natural-born leaders on this team that all you have to do is be around them or hear them talk, and it exudes. I mean, you know. Will that win football games? I don't know. But I know if you don't have that, you're setting yourself up to lose football games. And I don't know. I just want guys to care. Here's the other thing, and I know this is controversial, but I'm sorry. I'm tired of Auburn having a reputation of being soft, right? Of you know, they talk about violence and screaming out when they hit the tackling dummies and how you run your route. I mean, he's really, really hard-nosed. Golish is. He does not mind hurting feelings.
Yeah.
I'm tired, and I've said this over and over again. If I want to see one thing switch in culture, it's that no punk coach that wears a visor, and there were two of them, and Drinkwitz and Kirby Smart, that came to Jordan-Hare last year and celebrated like a 14-year-old kid that spiked the punch at the prom and stood on a pillar and acted a fool and, you know, just taunted. And then, you know, the Missouri players on the coin toss in overtime. If anything, that crap needs to stop. And I think under Golish, and the other thing, too, I'm sorry, you can say what you want. Nobody fears Hugh Freeze on the sidelines from an officiating crew standpoint. And you can sit there and try to tell me that that didn't affect people that went out there and called Auburn football games in the back of their minds and how they called games. And I'm going to tell you, the way Auburn got jobbed last year consistently in games and the calls,
yeah,
there was no fear. There was no fear of what if we you know, we got Hugh Freeze on the sidelines. There was no fear of an opposing coach acting that way. And I want that to change. I want that to change. I want Golish to walk up to somebody after the game and a handshake, and if they showboated and showed Auburn up, I want him to let them know about it. And he will. He's that type. And I think that attitude and that persona, it trickles down to your team, and your team takes on that personality. That's the biggest thing I want to see when it comes to culture is I want when you come in shirt and hair when you leave, by God, you know you've been in a battle, and it's not easy, and you're hurting when you walk out of there.
Mm. Get us fired up on a Wednesday, Double D. Get us fired
up. And then if the media needs to get involved, let's go. Let's get some of these other right. No, I'm just kidding. I'm a kindler, gentler Daryl Dappert going into 2026.
Oh, I love it. I love it. We love having Daryl Dappert's Double D with us here on each and every Wednesday show on ESPN 106.7. My friend, it's so good to talk to you again and have you a part of our show. We're so thankful for you to be a big part of our show each and every week. Tell the people what's going on in your world with spring practice and baseball and basketball portal. I mean, I know you guys are covering it like we are, so tell the people what they need to know.
Very busy week. We dropped a show this morning, a Locked on Auburn show that I think people will really, really like. We addressed the whole Dixieland Delight thing and the fifth quarter thing.
Yeah.
People will watch that and enjoy that unless you're from West Vance. and really, I don't care. I'm still going to sleep 8 hours tonight. The other thing is Friday, the press conference. We'll have our normal show Friday morning. It'll drop, Locked on Auburn. Zach and I will be in Auburn covering Golish's press conference at 4, and then we're going to go live from the football complex right afterwards and drop a live show kind of recapping what was going on at the press conference. And then, of course, tomorrow night, get your coffee, get your favorite Auburn PJs on, and we'll do our live show after the basketball game from Indianapolis. Not from Indianapolis, it'll be from Daryl's living room. And we'll be watching the, we'll do the post-game show live.
Yes.
For basketball. So it'll be, I think there's like 3 or 4 shows that'll drop in the next 4 days.
That's awesome. Daryl, we appreciate it as always, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll do it again next Wednesday, okay?
Let's do it. Hey, happy Easter to all who celebrate. Have a glorious and a great weekend, everybody with family.
Same to you, Daryl. Appreciate you, my friend. Daryl Dappert of Locked on Auburn and the Barn. He's with us every Wednesday, 3:05, right here on ESPN 106.7. We'll take a break, come back, have a very short segment before we speak with Auburn baseball's head coach, Butch Thompson. That's all coming up here on ESPN 106.7.
Hey, this is your resident Super Bowl champ, Chris Candy from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back for a very, very, very quick segment, like literally like 60 seconds of a segment, because we went long with Double D, but I didn't know he was fired up like that today. It's crazy
it was
what happens.
Fired up,
oh yeah, it's crazy what happens when the Pittsburgh Pirates win a baseball game.
I mean,
you know,
hopefully that vacuum still works to clean up the rest of the confetti.
Yeah, he was great though. He was awesome. Made a lot of great points, and a lot of it was about football with spring practice and Auburn trying to, or I guess hoping Auburn is trying to change the culture a little bit with Alex Golish. So, a great interview with him. If you missed it, you'll be able to check that out on the podcast version of the show. But we say it a lot, but I really mean it this time. Don't you dare turn that radio dial, because Auburn baseball is trying to figure it out, trying to turn it around, and they don't have much time to figure it out because Arkansas comes to town tomorrow, and the man who's in charge of fixing it, he joins us on the phone lines coming up next. Butch Thompson, the head coach of Auburn baseball, had a chance to talk with him this morning. He had a big media availability, but he talked to us first. We must just be his favorites, I guess. Butch Thompson, the head coach of Auburn baseball, talks to us next about how Auburn struggling at the plate, what they're going to do to fix it, and how they've got to get some wins. Butch Thompson, the head coach of Auburn baseball, joins us next.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. And we continue talking Auburn baseball as the Tigers get ready to host Arkansas this weekend at Plainsman Park, coming off of the result last night against Georgia Tech. And we're excited to continue a weekly series of conversations with members of the Auburn baseball baseball staff and team, and no better way to continue our coverage than to talk with the head coach of Auburn baseball, Coach Butch Thompson, with us here on ESPN 106.7. Coach, always appreciate your time. I know there's a ton going on. Quick turnarounds on weeks like this, so we always appreciate you hopping on to talk a little ball.
Sounds great. Thank you, guys.
Well, there's a ton to get to, and I know, again, with the quick turnaround coming in late last night from Atlanta, then you go into a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series this weekend with, of course, Easter being on Sunday. But just overall, right, it has been a tough stretch for you and your ball club. But a couple of weeks ago, we had the chance, Christian and I did, to hear you speak to a group of folks here in town, and you had talked about your team not really going through a whole lot of adversity just yet, and you admitted that it kind of concerned you that that had not happened yet. Now it's here. Have you seen the response that you're looking for, or maybe looking for that response coming out of this kind of tougher stretch here the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, well, to be honest, you know, this was a tough, you know, road trip that we just had for sure, and you get swept by your rival, and then a team that you'd already beaten who's an amazing team. You know, they get their payback last night. So, but really, the last four SEC games, we scored four runs. So that's tough. That's tough to overcome. So I meant what I said then. I tried to communicate some of that to, you know, our people that absolutely follow the program, to our team. And, you know, coaches and stuff, you go through this for like 25 years, and you're like, is the team really ready for this journey? And so we haven't got out of it yet. So we're still in it as I communicate with you today and get ready for another big, big series. But I know we got eight games at home here. It's a time to get settled. I think we're a few swings away from busting through to get back to just playing the baseball that we did. Now we got 20 wins against a lot of good baseball teams, but you know, we've fallen flat offensively. And still, there's a lot of guys that haven't been through this before. So I was disappointed last night. It's at least that look of a little bit of dazed and confused. Mm-hmm. And the game does this to everybody. And this is right where we were last year, guys. I think we had just come off of getting swept at Georgia. And we're 4-5 in the league, just like we are now. And, you know, it feels like 10 days ago, on game two versus Texas with the bases loaded, you were one single away from arguably being, you know, the one or two best teams in the country from a perception standpoint. And then you take on some water here. So my hope as a coach to keep our wits about us, keep leading good. And hopefully this team, you know, gels and it makes them harder and some lessons learned and some humility and some fight. You know, to move away from a jelly bean and be hard on the inside and outside, I guess is what I meant by those comments at that deal we were at together. Mm-hmm. And try to get a harder club. And every one of these clubs have been through it before. And in the past, you know, Ryan Bliss has stepped up to get us going. An Ike Irish has stepped up in the past to get us going. And, you know, this year, can a Chris Rembert or a Frelick or a Guevara, somebody, you know, put their foot down and really start leading this team after having a good run of success and having getting punched in the mouth. Can we, you know, settle ourselves and get back to playing good competitive baseball?
Well, we highlight so much with this particular team and roster, how young it is and how exciting it is and how much of a blessing it is to have so many younger guys with a lot of, you know, with a lot of positivity and a lot of just hype around what these guys are. But do you maybe attribute some of the struggles here, or maybe some of the body language, or kind of getting down after a result like last night, do you attribute that, Coach, to it being a younger roster and guys just not being there as often?
I think so, and that's where the buck has to kind of stop. Like you know, we just got away with stuff. We were pitching at such a high rate, you know, we were winning 2-1 ball games. Yeah. Like opening weekend against Youngstown State, and you know, had a few good offensive games, but that pitching really covered a lot of tracks of us talking about, you know, leaving guys on base or not getting a, you know, a few more runs here or there. And then, you know, we put so much before this team of like, man, this is a good, young, exciting team. They're so good.
but we kind of did this before the league started. And you really, you don't know what you got here. We have seven SEC weekends.
Yeah.
Hey, in about 3 or 4 weeks, we'll know exactly who everybody is. And then who's been immune to not getting punched in the mouth every year in college baseball? This year, it's about three teams. I think Texas had a hard journey, but they keep finding a way to, you know, they come in here and win a series. UCLA has got four Major League Baseball players on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look and there's a few teams. And Georgia Tech's one of those teams, a team that we beat here at Plainsman Park. But, you know, they're absolutely got off to an amazing start in the ACC and number three in the country. Outside of that, everybody has, you know, had to take on water. Seven of our eight SEC series last week were sweeps. And nobody's wanting it or nobody's wanting to go through anything. But sometimes you just have to. You know, I don't have to go through it again. I've been beat up enough in this league for 25 years that I don't have to. But a group of young players and a team, they have to go on that journey. And they have to figure out all these different things. But, you know, this Arkansas team's in the same boat we are. So if you play the woe-is-me game or if you, you know, grip the bat tighter or if you think the sky's falling, that's, you know, that's weakness because we are right here in another series with the team in the same place we are basically about ready to get after one another in your home ballpark. We have to be ready for that. We have to be in the best mindset of that. And we do have good players. We do have a great following. Actually, our program, from my standpoint of my time here, has never been in a better position.
Mm-hmm.
But we've absolutely got kicked in the teeth here for four games and need to respond. Unfortunately, a lot of this, what we're going through, is normal. It happens every year. There was just a lot of additional hype on this team here early. And now, you know, reality's setting in and, you know, it's never as good or as bad as it seems. It's somewhere in the middle. And now we're settling in for this tough, tough, you know, 7 weeks of SEC play that we all are experiencing, you know, whether you're LSU, whether you're Arkansas, whether you're anybody in our league, we're all going through it right now.
Very well said by the head coach of Auburn baseball, Butch Thompson, who's with us here on ESPN 106.7. And coming off of the loss last night to Georgia Tech and now going into the series that you mentioned against Arkansas, it has been a struggle at the plate. You mentioned the runs and lack of there in SEC play last night. You scored first again. Believe that's the fourth time in a row that your squad has scored first and unable to carry that all the way through. What are those conversations with you and Gabe and the staff right now about the approach at the plate and the production at the plate? What are those conversations with you guys right now, Coach, going into Arkansas this weekend on the offensive side of things?
Yeah, trying to find reality. You know, I mean, we've hit three home runs in 60 innings. That's really where we're behind in our league. And I know I've said, get on a fastball if you're listening. I've said, you know, driving the baseball. I've said all those things, but all those things are true. You know, from an average standpoint, you're still above the top half of the league. And some of these metrics and things look at, like, I think we'll get back and score some runs here. The game's got us a little bit. When we have hit the ball hard, I look at Sunday's game against Alabama.
Yes.
When, you know, it's so big, it's like, first inning, we could not hit a ball harder or better. Later on, just all Sunday was one of those games where we're like, all right, you're just going through it right now. And then you score the three runs last night, but, you know, that lineup just absolutely answered right back and doubled us up. And then just not that other response, and I feel like last night was the first time for me. I know the fans, as soon as we lose a game, it's over. And the sky's falling. But last night was the first time for me when they punched back immediately last night, their offense. I didn't see, you know, I saw guys just not as engaged for the first time. And so that was disappointing. And told them that. And again, that's part of that journey of them figuring this stuff out. And this game's hard enough. And some things are not going to go your way. The ball's not going, it's going to go to a glove instead of fall in. And we'll get back to a place where that thing falls in and good things happen. But we only had one base runner after the third inning last night, and that was a walk in the seventh by Bristol Carter. So we know exactly what's going on. But, you know, those were two bullpen games last night. So I did think it would be high scoring. You know, I think we both have a series starting Thursday with Easter coming up. And you're going to need to score some runs last night. But they answered us quick, and we just didn't punch back. You know, it was a big home run by Terrell, a two RBI there with Bristol. And then the next inning, I think we loaded the bases with one out.
Yep.
So nine of our first 16 hitters got on base, and then nothing for the rest of the night. So that doesn't sit well. That makes us feel like that we just we're not as engaged or feeling sorry for ourselves or here we go again type stuff, which is a team in this league or a team that's supposed to be equipped and trained the way we are. You know, that becomes the unacceptable piece. So that'll be a big part of today on the field, getting ready for tomorrow's series to start on, you know, how do we properly respond to that? But, you know, that's where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been here before, like I said, and like I said, most teams have gone through it or will go through it. And we just have to care about our guys and try to get back to what's simple and our good at bats and things of that nature.
Well, as you and your guys know, there's, of course, not a whole lot of time to sit around and feel sorry, right, for yourself or worry about it or you know, think about it with the series against Arkansas. Again, that starts tomorrow at Plainsman Park, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 6 o'clock Thursday, first pitch, 6 o'clock Friday, 2 o'clock on Saturday, then Easter on Sunday. We got Butch Thompson, the head coach of Auburn Baseball, with us on ESPN 106.7. One more thing before we let you get out of here. That was swinging the bat. That was offensively in the batter's box, but a little bit of change in the pitching rotation this week, Coach, with Chatterton going last night against Georgia Tech. A little bit of a different look this weekend. Can you kind of walk us through the mindset there, the game plan there on what the little bit of a shakeup was for pitching this week and this weekend for your squad?
Yeah, it was kind of twofold. This change is not really a knee-jerk reaction to these four games either. You know, Marciano and Sanders and Petrovic and Alvarez have been great all year.
Very much.
And they've thrown a lot. They wind up having long outings, 5 innings, 6 innings, 7 innings. And when you start moving up from Friday, Saturday, Sunday to move up to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, one of the reasons was you just didn't want to short anybody. They've been having long outings and everybody's thrown well. So, you didn't want Marciano to have to go from Friday to Thursday, so you keep him on Friday. Saturday, now we're going to go TBA. And is that going to be Sanders or Petrovic?
Okay.
I think we're going to wait and see how this series opens up because every game's so important. Instead of naming a starter there, we're going to leave that one kind of open-ended. If there's a chance, we feel like we need another lefty out of the bullpen. You know, a couple of those games at Tuscaloosa were like, couldn't button down, and you know we were not scoring, and you know they were just finding a run, and that was making a difference in the game. So does Jackson Sanders help us, you know, in the bullpen there? And then tracing our way back to Thursday, you had an opportunity to either throw Alvarez against Georgia Tech, which you did the first time, or his numbers have been so good, you know, even compared to the weekend guys. And I don't think we have a better arm than Alvarez, and he's continued to grow in texture and get a breaking ball going, and his percentage of strikes have risen. So instead of moving everybody that's done a lot of work trying to protect the strength of our ball club and just move Alvarez to Thursday, keep Marciano on his Friday, and then we'll see which one we go with, either Petrovic or Sanders. But it really puts four starters that have done a great job in the three-game series, and can that make a difference?
I love it. Yeah, it's gamesmanship. It's trying to figure out things that'll work and doing whatever you got to do to put yourself in a position to win, and that'll be the case this weekend as Auburn hosts Arkansas. It's good to be back home for the Tigers, the first game at Plainsman Park since Sunday, March 22nd. So it's been about a week and a half or so since Auburn has played back home at Plainsman Park. They'll do so this weekend as they'll host Arkansas Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. He is the head coach of Auburn Baseball, Butch Thompson, with us on ESPN 106.7. Coach, we always appreciate your time. Again, I know there's a ton going on today in particular, so thank you so much for joining us as always. Good luck this weekend at War Eagle.
War Eagle. Thank you, Jacob.
This is Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Hope you enjoyed my conversation with head coach Butch Thompson of Auburn Baseball. Again, had a chance to talk to him one-on-one this morning, thanks to George Nutterly, the SID for Auburn Baseball, getting us set up with that. And you can hear it with him, man. He is not disappointed, but you can tell there's a different tone with Coach Thompson right now. Understanding the seriousness of the situation, understanding the ever-so-growing urgency with his baseball team, right, to turn around and get wins, and he addressed several of the things right there. So again, hopefully you enjoyed that conversation. If you missed it and want to go back and listen to it, I highly recommend that you do. We recap the Georgia Tech game and preview the Arkansas series coming up this weekend. And how about him saying they are leaving Saturday open for a starter right now for baseball? They are not making a decision yet on who they want to start in the third game on Saturday against Arkansas. So I thought that was interesting and a whole lot more. So be sure you go and check that out, plus the rest of today's show as well. We talked to Daryl Dapperich of Locked On Auburn in the barn. We talked about the new rules implemented by the NCAA for the Ghost Portal. So there are actual rules and guidelines and punishments for that, which is good. And also talked and gave our thoughts on Auburn baseball as well. So a very loaded Wednesday edition of the show. So if you missed it, check it out in the podcast center at ESPNAU.com.
Breaking news, maybe not necessarily in the Auburn sports world, but Michigan's Elliott Cadeau was receiving major medical attention for an allergic reaction while traveling to the Final Four.
Oh, gosh.
So
wow, that's scary.
Very, very much so.
Jeez.
I guess it's indirectly Auburn since he wanted to come to Auburn.
Yeah. Well, dang. Yeah. Hopefully he's all right.
Yeah. That's, I mean, scary. It's a major loss. I mean, you would imagine thankfully it's still halfway through the week. Mm-hmm. And so you still have plenty of time. But yeah, very, very scary on that side of things. Not so breaking news. Not a happy birthday, but happy 4 years.
Thank you.
4 years. Yep. The beard's gotten longer. The voice has worked its way out a little bit. But Mr. Goins, the voice that you have heard here on the Line, from the college kid of having no idea what the heck the show was to now bringing me along by the coattail. So happy 4 years. I know this is a very big day for you. I know everybody is very appreciative, as is myself, of the work that you do daily, making sure that this show runs, making sure that it is successful, and we're all very appreciative of everything that you bring here for us.
Thank you. Yeah, apologies that we missed your one-year anniversary. We missed it by several months, so apologies.
What was it, late January?
January 27th, I went and looked at it today.
You know what, we'll celebrate. April 1st is my first year.
Sure,
Year 4th.
Yeah, so January 24th of 2022 was the first day that I made an appearance on the show as a co-host way back then, and then, April 1st of 2022 is when I took over full-time. The previous guy left, and I took over full-time hosting and have been hosting this show Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 p.m. in this very studio for 4 years in a row. So
April Fools, your work is a joke. No, I'm just kidding.
Good one. No,
I think I said that last year.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It really is. The idea that on days that we don't have shows for whatever reason, between 2 and 4, I just am like, I don't really know where to go or what to do.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
No, it's been great, man. It's been awesome. I appreciate you and everybody who's a part of this show, our guests, our interns, our producers, our listeners, everybody. I mean, it's been a blast, man. And so 4 years flies by when you're working really hard. So
4 years flies by when the athletic program has had a lot of success.
God. Yeah, tell me about it, man. We'll talk more about that and a whole lot more coming up tomorrow. We get to talk baseball and basketball tomorrow. Double game day for the Tigers. We'll talk about that on the Thursday edition of On the Line with a couple of great guests as well. So until tomorrow, 2 to 4 right here on ESPN 106.7. He's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.